There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday edition of the show. Glad to have you along. Easy to get in touch as well. 251-343-0106. Now that works for a call or a text. 251-343-0106. Plus you can use the FM Talk 106.5 app to leave us a talk back message. But let's do this. I'm about to set up the show for today. But you know, almost all the time. When I'm giving away something, I kind of drag it out into the end of the show, and I think that's not fair for people that are, you know, here for the first half hour or first 45 minutes or so of the show. So let's do this right now, right off the bat. Now, this is calling. This is not texting. This is calling 251-343-0106. Got a family four-pack of tickets to the G&D Farms Outdoor and Wildlife Expo. That starts a week from tomorrow out at the grounds. Caller number 6 at 251-343-0106. Got a family four-pack of tickets for you to come on out. We'll be doing Midday Mobile there on Friday, a week from tomorrow. Plus, Mike Ward and I will be doing FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors from a location there on Saturday. But 3 days of that, so family four-pack of tickets for caller number 6. So good luck there. All right, so let's set up what's happening here. Okay, got a couple things. Number one. Happened at around 12:35. My buddy John Sharp will join me. Now, there's a couple stories. We will talk about that sweepstakes casino company giving Tuberville that $100,000. Although I've said this in the past, like the $25,000 from last week from the other group, I'm like, you mix this with the amount of money Tuberville has, I don't think it's consequential in his war chest. But John and I will talk about that. Also, a story breaking this morning, John has about a. Somebody at McDuffie, employee at McDuffie, facing 18 charges after a Port Authority investigation. Pretty interesting. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Also, hour number two, Scott Johnson is pinch hitting for Kyle Hamrick today. I'll tell you more about why Kyle's out. Well, just congratulations, Kyle. And then at 1:30, Brian, I mentioned to Jeff, Brian Fuhnmayor, the person that put the money up for the Pride banners that were in Mobile in the month of June, wants to come on and talk about why he thinks it's different what happened in June than what Travis Johnson has put out here in September. So we'll hear from him at 1:30. Then I have this story. And as I look at the monitors here, you know, what's the top story going on? Of course, cable news finds its own place here. They love a jury trial and a jury watch going on in the Lindsey Clancy trial. And then I look down through the scroll here, Lindsey Clancy trial, deadlocked jurors, blah, blah, blah. A lot of focus on Lindsey Clancy. Let me throw you another story here. You may not have heard of this story about a mother with kids. Okay, this one has not gotten the attention, but I want to hear from you on this. So listen to this, what we're about to talk about here. And I'll tell you what, I'll post the story up on the X feed at FM Talk 106.5 on X or Twitter, you know, for us old folks. So it's going up right now. You can see it there. Story from... Yes, Reason Magazine, for libertarian-leaning folks like myself, something we looked at. And that's where I found this story. So this came out yesterday. Here's the headline. Virginia mom gets six-month suspended jail sentence, which always reminds me of The Godfather. Suspended a sentence. What is this? Six-month suspended jail sentence for letting a five-year-old, anybody, walk to the pond. Okay, check this out, parents, and non-parents as well. But parents, think about this on how people I mean, this is, yes, is this moving the story about the people packing heat at the bus stop around Fondy Elementary? Yes, it's moving that off the top for a second, but we'll probably get to that one later. A mother of five was convicted last week, it was up in Virginia, of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Her offense, allowing her five-year-old son to walk about a half mile by himself in their gated community. Okay? And it's like, you hear the description of it, it's kind of a golf course and ponds and big sidewalks and, you know, probably a totalitarian HOA kind of place. But so the mom, this woman, Carrie Ann Parkinson, okay, it says until very recently, Carrie Ann Parkinson lived in leafy Williamsburg, Virginia. She and her husband, Dallin, had moved there from Utah so Parkinson could attend William & Mary Law School. Pretty dang good law school. In June, when Parkinson was preparing for the bar and also happened to be 8 months pregnant with her fifth child, she and her then youngest child, Sam, went for a bike ride as they often do. Pretty cool. I like that mom, 8 months pregnant, is still doing a bike ride. Good for her. They said they stopped for her son's favorite activity, collecting goose feathers from a path near their community pond, which I mean, we can get in a discussion of populations of non-migratory Canada geese, but that's another show. I do that on Saturday morning. When they got home, her son asked, hey, mom, could he walk back and get some more of these goose feathers? And it talks about how this is the thing the kid loves to do. It's collecting them. A kid's probably a spiritual kin of mine. If you come in my house, you would see the collections of, I go outside and get things and bring them back inside. I'm with you, kid. So mom here, Carrie Ann Parkinson, said yes. It's a short walk along a sidewalk separated from the street by 10 feet of grass. So that's what the buffer is. Sam would have to cross two streets that had crosswalks, which she'd seen him do safely hundreds of times, including six times already that morning. So she said, okay. Off he went while she made lunch. A passerby saw Sam and alerted security. One of the community's security guards escorted the boy back and gave Parkinson an earful. Pretty soon, in addition, there were three cop cars and just as many cops, a security vehicle, and two Child Protective Services workers at Parkinson's store. CPS there in Virginia ended up investigating her for abuse and neglect. The cops, meanwhile, charged her with contributing to the delinquency of a minor. CPS found the allegations substantiated and placed Parkinson on the state's Child Abuse and Neglect Registry. Once again, the state Child Abuse and Neglect Registry. She will remain on that registry for 7 years. The ordeal reached its nadir last week when a judge convicted Parkinson of the delinquency of a minor charge. This comes with a six-month jail sentence. I mean, the stuff that happens that people don't ever see jail time for, this is what, okay. While the judge immediately then suspended the sentence, pending good behavior and I think good behavior is easy for this mom. Wait till you hear about her. Pending good behavior and compliance with CPS conditions, the conviction remains. Parkinson assumes this means she will not be able to volunteer in her kid's school, in her kid's schools, and fears it also means she will not get her law license. So here's how it unfolded. Said Parkinson is no newbie to parenting. She graduated from Brigham Young University in 2012 with a degree in family science. She then became a family life educator and spent 3 years as a live-in behavioral specialist at a residential treatment center. There, she and her husband, who is a marriage and family therapist, oversaw the care of 35 girls. So not only does she do her parenting, she qualified enough and good at it to take care of 35 girls. Okay. In Virginia, Parkinson spent one summer interning for the Institute of Justice and another for working in the law office of former Virginia State Senator Joe Vogel out of Winchester. Vogel is actually the co-sponsor of the Reasonable Childhood Independence Law that passed in Virginia back in 2023. That bill says that neglect is only when you put your child in serious, obvious danger. So she was on the front lines of this stuff. When the security guard brought her son, Sam, the five-year-old, back to the Parkinson's house, he told the boy that his mom had done something she wasn't supposed to do and that bad people would want to take him if he was out alone. The mom says this scared the crap out of him, end quote. She admits she was upset with the guard and asked him where in the Homeowners Association, you knew it was an HOA thing, right? Where in the Homeowners Association rules it says a child can't walk by himself. The guard said it was against the law anyways and then called the police. Parkinson said when the first cop arrived, I didn't have any interest in talking to him. That did not make things go smoother. The cop then called for backup and summoned CPS. At that point, Parkinson asked her husband, who was having lunch with their daughter, to come home. Quote, I told authorities that the kids need to be able to take reasonable risk in order to grow up non-anxious, end quote. CPS responded that they said a five-year-old child can never be unsupervised, end quote. That's coming from the state there. Now, CPS opened an investigation and found Parkinson guilty of level two finding for lack of supervision. And that's what put her on the child abuse and neglect registry. As for the criminal charges, Parkinson believes delinquency of a minor charge was an attempt to bypass Virginia's reasonable childhood independence law that was referenced earlier there. At the trial, the security guard, his boss, and the police testified against Parkinson, the mama, that the CPS worker testified that Sam seemed happy and healthy when she saw him that day. So they even said that. Parkinson's friend testified to Sam's maturity and said he could be trusted to walk to the pond without going rogue. And that's one thing, too. This kind of the government mandate thing where you not all five-year-olds are the same. Not all 45-year-olds are the same. You know this is true. And mind you, this is something that the mom and child did with great regularity. Went over there to the pond or the park by the pond and collected the goose feathers. It's something he did with great, I mean, there's pictures of him in the story. The kid, I like this kid, goes and grabs stuff from outside and brings it inside. I'm with you. So, but what happened this last week? Did you hear? There were no supporters outside the courtroom. There's no breathless stand-ups from national news media outside. As a mother, who in everything I have read about her seems like a pretty darn good mama, had her five-year-old, who was mature, walk over to do the thing that they did quite regularly and go get goose feathers to bring back into the house. And she has been convicted of contributing to a delinquency of a minor and also put on a child abuse and neglect registry for the next 7 years. Think about all the things going on in our country right now. And people are like, you can't hold the mom responsible for that, or you can't hold the dad responsible for that. And here's a mother who let her kid go get some goose feathers and the law's down on her. I want to hear from you. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:23, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 251-343-0106. Let me get some text here. I get them read. I mean, they're here, but read them. Bring them to the forum here. Paul says, how much you want to bet Democrats did that? I don't know that. It's interesting. There's a law specifically, and it's that this woman was involved with the legislator. She worked, I think, clerked in the office for the legislator who had passed a law in Virginia that I have not been able to consume all the lines of what it says. But to me, it's basically, you have a right for your kids to like play outside kind of law. But I think it starts off with the HOAs. I'll tell you what, I lived in HOA land for quite a while. A lot of great friends in that neighborhood and stuff, but the HOA and I were not in lineup all the time. I was probably the one, I didn't make the meetings either, so they could talk about me. Okay, so the HOA starts at. Nick, if this ridiculousness was around when I was a child, every one of my friends' parents, including my own, would have been locked up for life. Nick, I thought the same thing. And also the dichotomy, obviously that's not lost on y'all, that the things that happen that people don't have a judge, you know, find them guilty of. The bad parenting behavior that the stories, you know, show up with regularity. Oh, by the way, too, yeah, somebody, yes, Shane Heumann, our winner of the family four-pack of tickets to the G&D Outdoor Expo. More of those coming up, so stay on your toes. But the dichotomy of that, of this person who is not, I don't know her personally, but I've read several stories from other angles. So I got the story from Reason Magazine, but I went and looked at, you know, whatever your Shenandoah Valley news leader, you know, tried to get some other stories, make sure I wasn't getting a one-sided view of this. Seems like a pretty good person, pretty good mom. And they threw the book at her. And other, all right. B-Dark said, you know, when we was coming up, we got thrown out of the house and told don't come home until supper. That is true. We were talking about that in the hallways, B-Dark. I was famous for that. Now, did I break that rule? Yes, I did. Bob and Ted, they didn't, I mean, you just go play outside. Now, it was be home before dark for me, which I would often, I remember one time got a pretty good punishment and discussion with the lecture, because I argued with, God bless my parents. I argued with them whether it was sunset or the real dark, the time they told me to come home. I mean, I was trying to argue my way out of something at that age. It was not good. Shane says Trump needs to pardon her. You know, he pardoned that guy who got busted for, like, running. Oh, I got to pull that story up from back in the day. It was a story, guy was running in Nashville. I'll find the story, but he did pardon that guy. Maybe he will pardon. Maybe he'll pardon this mama. Ultra Runner said, incredible story. My favorite part was learning that you read Reason Magazine. Nice. Yeah, I do. I've been reading it online now. I used to, you know, get the actual magazine. But, you know, that was the way, you know, that's the, what is it they call? Virtue signaling. It was a thing to have laying around for people to go, oh, Sean's a little different. He has a libertarian magazine. Now, like I said, I don't always vote libertarian, but I have that. And I have problems with some of the platform of libertarian, the National Party. But a lot of times I'm in lockstep with them, but not always, not always. Let's see. Matt said, what a giant load of BS we have. We have 5 kids, 3 boys and 2 girls, and they ran wild plenty of times and turned out to be fine adults, surviving the rigors of walking to the creek and playing in the mud, even going into the woods where we couldn't see them, for heaven's sakes. And horror of all horrors, the boys' favorite thing was to have a hobo fire down in the woods behind our house. Oh, my. I should be in prison or executed. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. They're throwing the book at... And listen, think about what she did. The kid went through the gated neighborhood down to collect some more goose feathers. They had already been there. She knew where he was going. Hey, Mom, I want to get some more, because Mom obviously had to go back and get lunch started or whatever. I want to go back and get some more goose feathers. That's what we're talking about. Matt, well, you're talking about your kids. I mean, what I did? I mean, the free ranging and starting fires with magnifying glasses? Not that I ever did that. Unnamed texter said, I'm 70 and I'm thinking my parents would have been put under the jail. They never knew where we were until the streetlights came on. Hope she fights this. Well, the judge, I don't know how, I mean, I guess we can appeal it, but the judge found her guilty, suspended the 6-month sentence. But the thing that gets me, texter, is she's on a registry now for 7 years of child abuse and neglect. This, once again, reading the story, I think is an exemplary mom, is now on a list with dirtbags that abuse their children. It's horrible. Marty said, Sean, when I was 10 years old, my friends and I would walk down to what we called the beaver pond, not with our Daisy BB guns, but with our Ruger 10-22s. Once there, we would proceed to shoot turtles, beavers, and other nuisance animals. Some of my best times in childhood. No one got hurt, and our parents knew about it. Of course, I grew up in Jackson, Alabama, and things were different. Yeah, but I did some, it was definitely with, we did not have rimfire. We were shooting Crossmans and Sheridans and all that, but we spent a lot of time doing that, Marty, here in Mobile. I wasn't there the day, but my best friend doing the same thing we always did. And yes, did we sometimes wear our coonskin caps, the fake ones from the, because the Davy Crockett fever was out there. We would spend our day in Municipal Park. We'd read a Foxfire book and then spend our day in Municipal Park. He got brought home by the cops one time, but that was it. They just brought him home. They didn't and press charges. Scott says sounds like she had not a great lawyer. Yeah, I don't know about her defense, but this is a heck of a story. More of it you can check out on our social media feeds. If you want to read through the whole story, check it out there. My man John Sharp from AL.com, next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right at 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. We'll get back a lot of text here about that story out of Virginia with the mother getting the six-month suspended jail sentence for letting her five-year-old go collect goose feathers. But we'll come back to that. I do want to read this one. Bacon-wrapped texted, I can just see Dave from Mobile Bay Coins, so the character I play on the commercials, I guess. He's out on a platform of logs laced together with his dad's nylon cord from the shop, pushing across the lake at Mobile Municipal Park with his coonskin cap on and his red rider. Bacon wrapped, I read that because that's not very far from the truth. That is, a lot of that went on for young Sean Sullivan's life. All right, let's bring on my man, semi-pro pickleball player and professional journalist at AL.com and a contestant in College Pick'em. The crowd goes wild for my friend, John Sharp. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Doing good.
I don't know about the rankings on those three, but I think the College Pick'em, we all got to just accept the fact that, well, good luck and Godspeed. So.
Okay. Well, listen, you know, I pull back the curtain here on the show, so John and I were talking yesterday, and yeah, I think a lot of us in College Pick'em going into this first week, and I'm first week, week zero, I don't know, just the first week. Like, you're making your picks in College Pick'em. Make sure y'all are signed up, too. Go ahead and get that done, because it starts Saturday morning. It's like, I don't know how these teams are going to play. Like, I'm looking at it, and you can read the stories and this and the power of this team, but a lot of these teams have so many new people. I hadn't seen them play anyone.
Yes, I'm with you, too, Sean, on that. But, you know, every year, I'm just amazed by whoever wins this thing every year. I encourage you to bring whoever wins it. They need to come on to the radio show.
I agree.
And do an interview. What's your secret? Because it's amazing. It really, truly is. And you can get off the wrong foot in the first 2 weeks because you're right. You don't know some of these games. You don't know what the teams, most people at least, don't know what you're going to be seeing, especially in week one. I mean, is Troy a 17-point favorite this week? I mean, apparently they are, but, I mean, how do you – So, I mean, you know, it's tough. It really is. And the key is not to get out of the gate with, like, you know, two or three wins and then you're struggling through the rest of the season. It's good to at least be manageable to the first couple of weeks.
You've seen some of the high performers in College Pick'em, too. They're like, how did y'all get that game? You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it when they consistently get the games, kind of everybody else does. They don't make a lot of mistakes, but then they'll get one. I'm like, who saw that coming? But you're right. I need to have whoever wins this year. You're a guest on Midday Mobile. You're going to talk about your techniques with us and teach us all. So I'm in.
That's correct. I agree.
Okay, let's get into stories of the day. You can check these out, y'all, over at AL.com. Just look for John Sharp. This one has had some discussion today with this headline, Sweepstakes Casino Company gives Tuberville $100,000 as Jones enjoys a record fundraising month. But let's talk about the $100,000, because there was another $25,000 the other day, and I've been arguing, compared to how much money's in his war chest, this isn't much, but it's still $100,000.
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, in this state, anytime there is some sort of gaming-related entity that provides to a campaign, especially for a campaign for governor, you take notice. There's been a couple of, there was a casino operator out of Florida that has ties to the Fontainebleau in Las Vegas. He provided $10,000. Again, a tiny amount compared to what Tuberville's been raising. But still, that you're like, well, wait a minute here. That's interesting, because you do a little bit more diving into this particular entity, and they haven't given, or a casino hasn't directly given to a campaign in Alabama in years. And now this one has been very active. It's VG Holdings. Well, VG Lucky Land. They're based out of Boulder, Colorado. but their arm of VG Holdings, which is an Australian company, and they are they've been very active in Alabama campaigns throughout this season, both Democratic and Republican campaigns, and to a couple of PACs as well. But their largest amount that they donated, that they've contributed, was just on Monday, August 31st, and that was $100,000 to Tuberville's campaign. Now, the same entity also provided a donation earlier in the campaign season, the $30,000 to Tuberville's campaign. So we're up to $130,000. Again, when you're talking about, you know, the senator having $9.5 million cash on hand, that's a small amount, but still, VG Luckyland, they're interested in Alabama, and all you got to do is do a little bit of internet search to see that this company's been involved in a lot of other states, and they're also facing a lot of, they're facing class action lawsuits, regulatory action. So there's more reporting to be said on what this company. I have not heard, you know, I've not talked to anybody with VG Holdings, VGW Holdings, but, you know, it's interesting to see what they got, what their eyes are on in Alabama, what's going on here. And so that's, that's something that we'll be looking at shortly.
You know, when your story went up, I had to go Google what, a sweepstakes casino was. I didn't, you know, didn't know. I mean, I'm a big nerd. And so I had to, so, I mean, they do this, do the online stuff, right? I mean, this would be an idea for an online casino.
That's correct. You're talking about online casinos, but, you know, still, if it's considered gambling in Alabama, now from what a little bit what I've read and digested on what this company does, they've argued that the sweepstakes casino model is not gambling per se. Now, we've heard this before with the game of chance versus, you know, with regards to fantasy sports. That was a few years ago. So it'll be interesting if that same type of argument comes back up if they want an entry into Alabama. And, of course, that would be something I would assume would be discussed at length in the upcoming session, which would, you know, not start till February. But and from what little I know, and I'm not familiar with this at all, so I'm not, you know, I'm no expert to give you the ins and outs of what sweepstakes casino model is all about. But
well, count me in that group, because, you know, I'm ignorant.
Right. There's something that they utilize, you know, and perhaps maybe one of your listeners may want to chime in, but it's something called dual currency system, which players receive gold coins for free play, and then there's bonus coins for sweep coins. And you can take these coins, these online coins, and apparently redeem them for cash prizes. That's about all I know about it. I'm not some expert. I know that the American Gambling Association has argued that, you know, this is that this particular company is trying to enter into basically it's gambling without regulation. That's their argument. And then some of the states that they've gone into, there's been some wrestling around with regulatory enforcements. Because the gambling industry is heavily regulated in the states that it is in. You know, we don't know that in Alabama because gambling's not legal here.
Right.
So this opens up a whole, this opens up a whole discussion on, even if this VGW Holdings wants to enter Alabama with sweepstakes casino model and not consider it casino gambling, you know, should it just come in here unregulated and fly by its seats? You know, I we'll see what happens. I don't know. There's a lot. It's very interesting. It's very interesting that and they've been very involved in this campaign. Again, they've donated about $351,000 to Alabama political races. And this runs the gamut. This is Democratic lawmakers to Republican lawmakers. So this isn't just they're providing donations to one political party. They're going all in.
Yeah, at least that makes, it makes sense to me. You know, they're not in it for politics; they're in it for business. And at least I understand the motivations in the free market world more than I do in the political world. But you know, you pointed out too, $9.5 million in the war chest for Coach for Sarah Tuberville.
Yeah.
That's pretty heady. But is later on in your story, you talk about what Doug Jones has raised, and I got to tell you, I mean, just watching it for me, he has been hustling. I mean, he's been out. It's not like, you know, you'll have Democrats will field a candidate that's kind of there just to have a name on a ballot. That's not what Doug Jones is doing. He's out there and he's raising money. Not $9.5 million, but he's hustled up some.
Yeah, that's correct. He certainly has, and you can't say he hasn't worked. You know, he isn't just throwing his name out there and saying, "Well, I'm the former senator." He's working.
I don't think he's going to win, but I think he's hustling. I do. I mean, I got to call real, and he's out there.
Well, he's raised more than $1.1 million in August. It came from a whole lot of donations, a little bit larger donations than he's gotten in previous months, because there's fewer donations reported in August for the former senator. But so a little bit more amount. The $1.1 million is the high water mark of any month in the two candidates in this campaign since it began. I mean, obviously, Tuberville started with a large war chest to begin the campaign as it is. But it was a strong month for Doug Jones. It was a strong month for Senator Tuberville as well. He raised $533,000 in the month. He spent about the same amount, so it's a wash. And so, he kind of entered the month with a little bit over $9 million. He ends it with $9.5 million. So again, a good month for both candidates with fundraising. But, we still got a few more months left to go. I know that September we'll see Doug Jones down in Mobile. I believe there's a concert that's Jason Isbell. So
that's Fairhope or something. I think it's Fairhope.
Yeah. Well, I think the concert with Isbell's in Mobile.
Oh, is it? Okay. Why did I think it was in Fairhope? Yeah. Okay. Listen to John. He's the actual journalist. Okay. So the one in Mobile. And then speaking of music, speaking of musicians here, y'all read John's story, right? Because I thought maybe if you did two stories, the second headline would be "Not Running on Empty." Doug Jones gets $1,000 contribution from Jackson Brown. Jackson Brown's contributing to a gubernatorial race in Alabama.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, we reported this before that he's given a little bit amounts here and there to Doug Jones, but apparently Jackson Brown's is a big social environmental activist as well. But classic rocker Jackson Brown's given $3,000 in total donations to Doug. Again, a small amount in the grand scheme of things, but he's given some donations to Doug Jones, and that just pops out. Yeah, it's we're on the Jackson Brown watch each month because he's given a little bit each month to the Jones campaign.
That's crazy.
So there's that.
Okay, I thought, and we may still have time to wrap up with our favorite, one of our hit records, talking about Amtrak. But you posted this story, and I didn't even know this was coming. I guess that's why we read your work here. Former McDuffie Coal Terminal employee faces 18 charges in Port Authority investigation. You laid this out, not just one. There's multiple people with charges against them at McDuffie for the allegations are sharing information and stealing. What all happened here?
Yeah, so this has been an investigation that's been going on for pretty much the entire year. It started in January, so it's been going on for a while, and it was handled internally by the Port Authority, and kudos to the Port Authority. They were proactive in letting the media know that, hey, we fired four people, or there was a termination, I think, in February of four employees, and they didn't provide any names at the time, but they were specific that, hey, we're doing this investigation into criminal misconduct. They're like, whoa, what's this all about? But they came out, they were forward with it. And so the charges have come out now that four individuals, one person, there's a warrant out for one of the individuals, but four individuals are all facing at least theft charges. And then one of the former employees, gentleman out of Bay Minette's facing 18 counts of computer tampering and theft of trade secrets for basically and forgery and so on and so forth. And basically taking confidential information from the state resources and providing it to his personal resources. I don't know what, to the extent we'll have to figure out what I think there'll be more information provided in the court documents coming out, but we're talking about large amounts of money and contracts that and confidential information from the Port Authority that was handled, moved from state resources over to personal resources. And so from there, it'll be interesting to see exactly how, who got their hands on this information and, the specifics of the crime here. But, you don't see this every day.
No, no.
That's what
got my attention. I was like, you got to be kidding me. You got to look through the story over at AL.com, and we will wrap up with this because John and I have talked about this subject off and on for a long time. And as somebody who's now used the Mardi Gras service myself, and my daughter's used it a couple times when she was in town over the summer to go back and forth to New Orleans. So I'm doing the drop-off and all that. It's kind of maybe needs a little upgrade there at the train station, right? At least have a covering going on there.
Well, I call it a train stop. It's not a station. We have a tent stop.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think that.
Well, we have some little ramps you walk up. There's little ramps you walk up, and you can park, you know, right there. So.
Sure. In some cities, really,
it's not Grand Central Station. Yeah, you're right.
No, far from it. But it's, you know, it's a highly visible location. I don't think you can miss it. There used to be a train station there many years ago. Damaged and destroyed in Katrina. But the Mardi Gras service is something that I think the interest is, there's been some discussions about, you know, looking at the convention center. There is an area where an escalator goes down underneath the convention center that potentially could be the train stop. Now, of course, Amtrak's got to approve that. They have long utilized this current location where the train stop is at as their, on and off at the for their services, and so that would require some shifting by Amtrak. So, but the city is looking for a cost effective way, and you know they talked about, you know, could we put a welcome center right outside? They're trying to do this so that it's not, they're building a whole big giant building that's going to cost millions and millions of dollars, and then that takes forever and a day before it's finalized. So I think they're looking at some cost-efficient options. We'll see where this goes. Of course, Mayor Chirilgaddis has got an idea. He's kind of been kept it, you know, he said, we asked him about it on Tuesday, and he kind of kept it to the vest. He said, you know, there's a plan, but, you know, it's going to be a couple more months before we release the design. So, I don't know what that means, but we'll see. I mean, he could have a big building there. I don't know. But I think there were some discussions by Councilman Corey Penn, even Councilman Ben Reynolds, that both suggested that, hey, maybe we ought to look at the convention center. That might be a more cost-effective option. And then, you know, you build out from there. So, that's something that's out there because right now, if you're taking the train, the protection from the elements is suspect, and I think ultimately Mobile wants to give a better look. I mean, folks are coming in from New Orleans, and they want to have a better look than coming out and seeing a big giant on our tent. So
well said. Yeah, suspect. I'm gonna start using that. Of course, people could read these stories over at AL.com, or they want to reach out to you, maybe even get your college football picks on the socials. Where they find you?
Yeah, at JohnSharp99.
All right. Other than beating me, good luck in college pick'em. But that's it, Jeff.
Okay. That's all I care about, so if I'm above or below you.
You're going to be below. Yeah, there he goes. John Sharp, one of the good guys out there for sure. Except during college pick'em, and then he's a... All right, be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:55, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. It's Scott Johnson coming up in about 10, 12 minutes here. Do the math, 12 minutes. As he is filling in for our regular Kyle Hamrick, who has joined the club. They just welcomed their first child. So congratulations to Kyle. And we'll talk to Scott here in just a little bit. Let me grab a couple of these texts here. Unnamed texter said, Karens are really snitching. So we're going back in time to the story from the beginning of the hour. So catching up here. The story, if y'all didn't catch it, it's on our X feed. Virginia mom gets 6 months suspended jail sentence for letting her 5-year-old walk to the pond. So from that story. Unnamed texter said, the Karens are real snitching in real time. Thank you for fighting for our values. Keith in Agricola, beautiful Agricola, said, shout out to Jackson, Alabama. Yeah, we've got good Jackson contention around here. Dalton spent his formative years just up the road in Grove Hill, right, in the Jackson-Grove Hill Metroplex. A lot of folks from Clark County listen to the show, chime in. Yeah, how about this? My girlfriend's from Jackson as well. How about that, Keith? So there's the got all that Clark County stuff happening. Pat says, as the runner-up from last year, Sean, I can tell you the first 3 weeks are generally pretty rough. Then once we get, this is talking about college pick'em. Then once we get a month in, it gets easier to go back and look up the teams and see what they struggle with and if the team they're playing is good at whatever else the other one struggles at. Pat's given us some of his magic. Yeah, he almost won the whole thing last year. So I fear, because if Pat has a problem with the first 3 weeks, what chance do I have? I was putting my picks in, Pat, going, maybe, you know, but get your picks in, and then, like you said, we'll get moving with this thing, and make sure you're signed up for College Pick'em so you can be part of the trash talking every day here at FM Talk 106.5, and of course, for y'all, not for us, because if you're with the station, we play, but we can't win the prize, right? So we're in just for the trash talking. But if you win, you win the grand prize, and big thank you to Spring Hill Ace Hardware. Step up again for fantastic prize pack. If the stuff you need to be out in the backyard grilling or entertaining, that's all coming from Spring Hill Ace Hardware. A Traeger Flat Rock Outdoor Griddle, Turtlebox Original Wireless Speaker, Igloo Trailmate 75-quart Rolling Cooler, 5-gallon Yeti Loadout Bucket, and approximately $275 in Traeger Griddle Accessories. One person is going to win it all, so get signed up for College Pick'em. Let's see. Ultra Runner. Oh, okay. We ought to do that story one day. Ultra Runner said, the Ultra Runner. So that story I was saying, Trump has pardoned different people of these stories that come up, because somebody suggested maybe that Trump would pardon this mom up in Virginia. And I mentioned about this runner. So Ultra Runner is talking about another Ultra Runner. Like I said, these are the people when I'm hiking in the Smokies that's doing everything I can to hike. And these people go running by me, like not even breathing heavy. I respect them, but I may be angry at them too, because you make me just feel so old and so fat. Said the Ultra Runner deserved Trump's pardon. Yes, in general, using shortcuts on the trail is bad, but there are exceptions to every rule. As a reader of Reason Magazine, I leave that decision to well-informed users of the trail who probably know and love it more than the bureaucrats. Yep, we ought to get that story. It's up in one of the umpteen tabs on my desk. It's been there for years. This is cool. Dirt Digger said, my father helped build the place you used to work back in the day. I met you, Sean, at Quince Hardware and Sporting Goods. I helped build the underground shooting range and asphalt in the parking lots. Dirt Digger, holy cow, that's old school. We were by Quince the other day, and I pointed out to my son. I said, your daddy used to work right there. Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to Dirt Digger for doing that. And that underground range was a cool thing, wasn't it? All right, coming right back.